We'll take our Bibles and we will turn to the Old Testament book of Lamentations, the Lamentations of Jeremiah, as they're called. And we're going to read from chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. And we will begin at verse 18. Lamentations 3, the 18th verse. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Amen. We'll end the reading rather there at verse 32. May the Lord bless our reading of his word to our souls. In recent times, we've been looking at certain great truths about God that encourage us, that strengthen us as we come to pray. For example, we talked about God's pardon, and it's always a great thing for us to go back to first principles and to go back to the cross and realize that not only is that the place where we found salvation, at the cross where I first saw the light, but it's where we always continually go back to for cleansing and for forgiveness, because we have to go on with God, and as we go on with God, we learn about our own unfaithfulness, our own lackings, our own sinfulness. And I believe that the closer we get to the Lord, the more our sins come into sharp focus and we see the need to pray and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who trespass against us. We need God's pardon, and we have God's pardon. That's the great thing. We have God's pardon. The Lord has told us in his word that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so we can literally over and over and over and over again have a fresh start and go on with the Lord. God's pardon encourages us then as we pray, because the devil would like to stop us praying. And one of the things that he uses is the truth of our own sinfulness. He uses that against us and says, well, a person like you, you can't pray. You're not fit to pray. God will never hear your prayers. But thank God we can come to him with God's word and tell him that he's a liar, that God does answer the prayers of his people. And one of the prayers that he answers is, Lord, forgive me for my sins. And then we're able to seek his face. We have God's pardon, God's presence then. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We're encouraged and we're strengthened in prayer by God's power. The Lord is able to answer prayer. We're not here wasting our time. You know, we're not, as it were, spitting into the wind tonight, which is an entire waste of exercise. We're coming to pray to the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. And we have God's promises. We can plead those before him at the throne. We also have God's provision, and we talked about that the last time. And this is not only true physically and materially, where the Lord provides for our needs, but he provides for all the spiritual needs, including those petitions that we bring to him We need God to provide for us at the throne of grace answers to prayer, and he will give those answers in his own time and in his own will. The truth that I want us to concentrate on tonight is God's perseverance. Now, I know that you're thinking perhaps of that doctrine, the perseverance of the saints. And that's a great doctrine, but I prefer to think about the perseverance of the Lord, because it is the Lord who perseveres with us. It's the Lord who, we might say, puts up with us, and he works on with us. He continues to be faithful to us, even in spite of our own lacking. I think of the words of Paul to Timothy. He says in 2 Timothy 2 verse 13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." He abideth faithful. The Lord continues to be faithful to his people. That truth that God is faithful is found in a number of scriptures, by the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 9 contains this phrase, "God is faithful." God is faithful, and that tells us that he can never be unfaithful. It's not part of God's makeup, if I could put it that way, to be unfaithful. God is faithful, therefore he can never be unfaithful to his people. And what a comfort there is in that. It's true in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 in relation to the subject of temptation, or you might say trial. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 records, "There hath no temptation," and my contention would be that the word there is actually a word for trial. It's not referring in that instance per se to sinful temptation, though it's also true that the Lord will help us with that. "But there hath no trial taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you," it means he will not allow you, "to be tempted," or tested, it means, "above that ye are able, but will with the temptation," or with the testing, or the trial, "also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." And I want you to notice carefully that last part. It doesn't say he makes a way to escape so that you can avoid it. He says he will make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Remember the time when Paul said he prayed three times for God to take away from him the thorn in the flesh, and the Lord basically said, "No. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." So rather than the Lord taking away that thorn in the flesh from Paul, he gave him grace to live with it. Gave him grace to put up with it. That's what God means here when he says he will not suffer you to be tested above that you were, are you, that which you're able. You're not able in yourself, but he gives you the ability, because he does, with that testing, make a way to escape, to be able to rise above it, that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful. And then we read in Psalm 36 verse 5 something about this great truth, and that is, if you like the amount or the size of God's faithfulness, it speaks of it in this way, Psalm 36 verse 5, "Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." It's speaking of the fact that it's way above that which we can comprehend. "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." God is beyond measure faithful. The suggestion here is of faithfulness that is unbounded, that's limitless. There's no limitation to God's faithfulness, his perseverance with his people. It continues with us. Again, I might quote from the Psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 90. "Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth and it abideth." Unto all generations, that means it continues. It never ends, it never ceases. The Lord continues with his people. That's why I'm saying we're talking about God's perseverance. And this is a very important truth, the perseverance of the Lord with his people, the fact that he continues on with us, because our salvation depends on it. If the Lord were only faithful up to a point, then we would be lost, because he would keep us up to this point, and then beyond that point he would drop us and let us go. That's not going to happen, because he is a faithful God. And it is a humbling thought that God would ever remain faithful to folks who are unfaithful as we are. There's a verse in the Bible that's one of my favorite verses. I have it hanging in our bedroom, because someone who didn't know that it was my favorite verse, just shows you how the Lord works, who is a script writer, wrote that verse in beautiful script and put it in a frame and gave it to me. Well, gave it to us, but it was significant, I think, more for me than my wife, because of that verse, the place that it's had in my life and ministry. And it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. The Lord called me into the ministry through that verse. On three separate occasions, God spoke to me. I'm not talking about hearing voices or anything like that. I mean that he used this verse in different circumstances, brought it before me to convince me that I should preach the word of God. And so it's always been a verse that's meant a lot to me. It still means a lot to me. And it hangs in our bedroom, and I look at it every single day. And as I say, the person was actually a family came to visit us, and the woman of that house was a beautiful script writer, and she gave me that text in a frame, not knowing that it was my favorite verse. Amazing. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Now, in the context, it's talking about sanctification. It's talking about the preservation of body, soul, and spirit. And really what it's saying is that he who has called you is going to be faithful, is going to persevere with you to complete what he has begun. And that really fits in with another verse. And if you're talking about favorite verses, this is my wife's favorite verse. And that is Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. It means he will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Lord's going to bear with us. He's going to stay with us right through to the end. Now, if that doesn't encourage you when you come to pray, I don't know what will. We can deduce from these things that God is going to complete what he has begun, and our salvation depends upon it. It depends not upon what we are, but upon what he is. But I'll suggest to you that every Christian, including those that are here tonight, is aware of the faithlessness of his own heart. And you know quite often that you can't even trust yourself. And the scripture tells us that that is the case. In fact, it tells us in one place that he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. So you shouldn't trust yourself. Don't ever say, oh, I would never do that. Or I would never go there. Or I would never end up like this. Because as soon as you start talking like that, you're talking like Simon Peter did when he said to the Lord Jesus Christ, though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. You don't have to worry about me, Lord. I'll be sticking with you to the end. And the words were hardly out of his mouth till he was put to the test in that very matter. And what happened? He melted away. And he denied the Lord three times. So don't ever say, I would never do this. I would never do that. I would never do the other thing. Because you would, but for the grace of God and his perseverance with you. I think I told this before. One of my colleagues who is an elder, a ruling elder in one of our churches, when he was being ordained to that office, he went further than the vows that were before him. Because when they ask you, do you promise to do this, 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 and this, the answer is supposed to be, I will. And that's fine. You're promising that before God. But he added this every answer that he gave. And I thought, we should really write that in to our vows. And that is, I will, by the grace of God,
And I never forgot that. I thought, that's tremendous. That's really good. Because here's a man who's depending upon God's perseverance with him to keep him in the way. He's not just saying, I will. He's saying, I will by the grace of God, as the Lord enables me. And that's what we need to say. To every Christian, there comes the times of testing. When our faith is sorely tried, sometimes afflictions bear down upon us. And they not only affect us physically, perhaps, but they affect our spirits. And I think the two are linked. If you're not feeling very well, a lot of times you don't feel too well spiritually either. It's really hard to pray sometimes when you're not feeling the best. It's hard to lift your Bible and read your Bible when you're under serious affliction. And sometimes afflictions that the Lord allows to come into your life will bring with them times of questioning and doubt to your soul. And you begin to wonder, even is any of this true? You say, could a Christian really think that way? Absolutely. Absolutely. There are times when that fleeting thought comes across my mind. I wonder, is the Bible even true? And is all of this about God and everything really true? And you think, you really think that? I've had those thoughts come across my mind more times than I care to mention. Now, it doesn't last long, but it's pretty scary while you're thinking of it. The Lord comes again and encourages us, answers a prayer, brings some providence into our lives, and we think, how could I not believe that the Lord is there? Don't let us imagine, however, that afflictions, whatever they might involve, are without any purpose. There are three verses in Psalm 119 that are linked together, and they all talk about affliction. They are verses 67, 71, and 75. Here's what it says, Psalm 119, 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. In other words, when the affliction wasn't there, I wasn't going on with God. I was going astray. I was backslidden, perhaps. But now have I kept thy word. So affliction had a good purpose there. Before he was afflicted, he went astray. But since the affliction has come, he's keeping God's word. Now look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. There are things that come into our lives and we think, how could that be good for me? But God knows that it's good for you. That's why he allowed it to come into your life. And it enables you to learn his statutes. There are things that you'll learn in the furnace of affliction that you will not learn anywhere else. And then verse 75. For I know, he said, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. In other words, if the Lord has taken the rod and brought it down upon our backs, it's not because he hates us. But to the contrary, it's because he loves us. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. The Lord always has a purpose in affliction and in trouble. In Scotland, there was a minister once who visited a Christian lady, and I don't think he must have been a very good minister, because he said to her, supposing after all God were to let you drop into hell? And she answered, well, even as he likes, but if he does, he will lose more than I do. And what did she mean by that? Well, he would un-God himself. He would make himself to be a liar. He would make himself out to be one who is not faithful. He would be one who doesn't keep his promise, who doesn't keep his word. So she was right. God would lose more than I would if he were to allow me to drop into hell after once saving me. That's a true witness. The faithfulness, the perseverance of the Lord with us. And that's a great encouragement to us individually. It's also to the church in every age. The Lord never has been, he never will be, faithless to anyone who trusts in him. It would be contrary to his nature. But we think again about our own unfaithfulness, and the devil loves to use that. Someone wrote this, Satan is not slow to suggest that saying we've been so faithless, we can hardly expect God to remain faithful. But over against Satan's suggestion, we put Paul's words to Timothy, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What a comfort to remember this, and to know that he understands when faith is low and fears are high, when in those hours of gloom and despair we cry out of the darkness to him, he will hear our prayer. Praise him for his grace and favor, the hymn says, to our fathers in distress. Praise him, still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, glorious in his faithfulness. The Lord perseveres with his people. It's great to know we've got a faithful friend who sticketh closer than any brother. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He has an unchanging love toward us. He will care for us. He will strengthen us in our times of weakness. In the last book of Scripture, Revelation 19, verse 11, there is yet another title of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many, many titles, hundreds of titles given to Christ in Scripture. But here's one. He's called Faithful and True. Faithful and True. What a lovely description that is. That's his name, and that's his nature. He perseveres with us. John Milton wrote, "Let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord, for he is kind, for his mercies shall endure, ever faithful, ever sure." The more we live, the more we understand that people that we engage every day, sometimes we can't trust. You know, there are people who will lie to you right through their teeth and have a smile on their face while they're telling you barefaced lies. You know fine well that they're not going to do what they say they're going to do, but they'll tell you that they will anyhow. They're not faithful. And you can't trust their words, and you can't rely upon anything that they say. And the more time goes on, I think the worse it seems to get. But over against that, you contrast the faithfulness of the Lord. He will never break his word. When the Bible says God is faithful, it means it. When the Lord says that he will be faithful to you in times of testing and trouble, you can stand upon that. You can take that to the bank, as they say. He is faithful. He's the guarantee of our security. And he's faithful in answering prayer. We talk about the promises of God in this series, and there are so many of those in Scripture, the great and exceeding precious promises. And we know that God is faithful. We know that God perseveres with his people because he time and time and time again answers their prayers. He just keeps on answering prayer. We keep coming with our needs, and it's a bit like dropping a bucket or a pail down into a well. And every time you drop your pail into God's well at the throne of grace in prayer, and you bring it back up again, it's full to the brim and running over. God answers prayer. So let us be encouraged. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God's mercies, according to the text that we started with, are new every morning. His compassions fail not. He never stops loving us. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's why in the verses that follow, it says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." God perseveres with us. He'll keep on to the end with us, continuing to answer prayer until we get to that place where we're not praying anymore because we're in his presence. So may the Lord help us tonight as we pray. Amen.